We left off on Ches Amud Aleph, about 8 lines from the bottom. So the Gemara talks about a sakin shel avodah zarah. What says ta sakin shel avodah zarah? So there are several things in avodah zarah that are asa b'hanoa. Let's say a person deifies this container. He bows down to this. He believes that this is a deity, and he worships avodah zarah. So avodah zarah is asa b'hanoa. If he shech the carbon, you give him atona to the avodah zarah, the kruvus avodah zarah is also asa b'hanoa. If you have a statue and you worship the statue, then you put on a necklace, you put on earrings, you put on a dress. So noye avodah zarah, arasa b'hanoa, asa b'hanoa. That's a third din avodah zarah itself, and tikruvus the matonis that you give to the avodah zarah, and noye avodah zarah is pasuk lo sachme kesev zov aleihem velo kachtoloch. That the kesev zov jewelry that's on top of the getchke is also asa b'hanoa. And then mishamshi avodah zarah is asa b'hanoa. Let's say they have a mizbeach, which they use to bring korbanos. So they have a knife that they use to shecht korbanos for avodah zarah. Or they have a menorah that they light candles in front of the avodah zarah. So that's mishamshi avodah zarah. So mishamshi avodah zarah rosa b'ano. So Gemara is talking over here about a sakin shel avodah gechoven. Probably, Rashi says, it probably doesn't mean that they deify a sakin that we never heard in history that they worship statues. Worship totem poles, but they don't worship knives. So Rashi says, Sakin Shel Avodah Zarah probably means that it's Mishamshi Avodah Zarah, that it was used to Shech Karbonis for Avodah Zarah. So it's also Bahanoah. So what's the din if you take a Sakin Shel Avodah Zarah and you Shech the Behemah? If you lead the Behemah now, is that considered getting Hanoah from the Sakin, getting Hanoah from the Mishamshi Avodah Zarah, or not? So the Gemara, Omer Rabba Bar Avua, Rav Nachman quotes in the name of Rabba Bar Avua, Sakin shel avodes kechavim, if you have a knife that's also b'hanoah, you have a knife that's also b'hanoah, all the other isuri hanoah, basa b'chalav is also b'hanoah, so you can't have a knife from basa b'chalav, orla, kloy akerim, you can't have a knife, so the only knife that's also b'hanoah is the Misham she avodes zar. So if you have a knife that's also b'hanoah, it's mutal lahatchil, mutal lishchad ba, you're permitted to shech the behemah with it, v'osa lachtach babasa. But let's say if you have a steak, and you want to eat the steak, so you have a fork and a knife, and you cut the steak, so you're not allowed to use the knife of avodah zarah to cut up the steak. But to use the knife to shech the behemah, chulin, that's not considered getting hanoah. Why is that? Mutalish chadbo is permissible to use the knife to shech because mekalkalhu, because the animal, while it's alive, is worth more than the animal is worth when it's dead. Let's say you have a racing horse. The racing horse, they put it in races, and it's worth, if you would sell it, it's worth millions of dollars. If you shecht, you can't shecht a horse. Shechita is not chal, it's a behemah tmeya. Let's say you use the knife to kill a horse, and you sell it as horse meat. You're not going to get millions of dollars. There are people who eat horse meat. In Russia, they eat horse meat. America, the people eat horse meat also, but you're not going to get so much money. So if you use a sakin shel, not only a racehorse that's worth millions, let's say you have a normal cow that's alive. So Rashi says, while the animal is alive, Rashi says, the third line from the bottom in the Rashi, the behemoth ametis legimel dvarim, you can use the live animal for three things. Number one, legabel vlodas, to give birth to more vlodas. Number two, faharisha, to plow. And number three, lachila, if you want, you can shecht it. You can use it for shechita. But once you shecht it, it's going to be worth less. It was worth more while it was alive than after you shecht it. So when you, let's say the guy's hungry now, so he wants to eat flesh. So he shechts the behemoth. He shechted a behemoth that was worth more alive than dead. So there's a kilkel and there's a rebach over here. So that's what Tosis explains. When you're dealing with, when you're discussing a topic, did you get Hanoah from the Isuri Hanoah? So you have to calculate whether the Revach outweighs the Kilkel or the Hefzid outweighs the Revach. In Hilcha Shabbos, there's a din. If a person does a Malacha on Shabbos and he's Mekalkel, so Mekalkel is not Chayiv, because the Malachas of Shabbos are described in the Chumash as Malachas Machshevis. So Malachas Machshevis requires that you have to do the malacha kedarka. Let's say a person normally writes with his right hand, a person writes with his left hand on Shabbos, that's only an issa de rabbanan, because it's a lack of malachas machshevis. or let's say the person instead of making a binyan shel keva, he makes oil aroy. The oil aroy is only an isa derabbanan. In Atar, you have to have malach de miskayemis, otherwise it's a lack of malachas mashevis. Well, let's say the person does a malacha, he knocks down a building, soser, bone is a malacha, and soser is a malacha. So if a person knocks down a hovel in order to build a beautiful building, that's soser amanas livnos. And the new building is going to be better than the old building, it's going to be more valuable than the old building. So knocking down the building is called a tikkun. What if he knocks down a building and he leaves it down? Soser shalei amanas livnos. A person erases something. So if he erases because it's a mistake and he's going to correct it, he's going to write the correct numbers or the correct statement there, so then it's mechek amanas lichtov, that's called mesaken. He just erases what it says, that's mekalkel. So mekalkel is potter, all based on malachas machshavas asra Torah. So Tosfos quotes a Gemara in Psachim. Let's say you have a racehorse that's worth millions of dollars, I enter it into the races, and then someone takes a knife and he kills the horse on Shabbos. So is that there's a malach of shochet on Shabbos? Shochet means it doesn't have to be hilcha shchita. Shochet, I shoot an animal, I shoot a person. There's also an atilas neshama. If you kill an animal, kill a person, is a malach and atilas neshama. So the question is, but it was a racehorse, it was worth millions, and now it's a dead, have a carcass of a dead horse. It's worth a couple of $100 you'll get for horse meat. Is that misakan or mekalka? So the Gemara says it's misakan because if a goy wants to eat it, so he's not allowed to eat evim and achai. And now that it's dead, he's moitzi midei ev menachai. Yeah, but it was worth millions while it was alive, and now it's only worth a few $100. So Tosfos says that's relevant if the hefsid is greater than the revach. Well, that's relevant when you're judging, are you in violation of Isuri Hanor? So if you have a revach and a kilkul simultaneously, so if the kilkul is greater than the revach, then it's not called getting Hanor. That's nageh and argimar. But when you get to Ilcha Shabbos, you don't have to be marviyah from the malachit. If there's no tikkun at all, then it's a lack of malachas machshavas. If there's a tikkun kol dehu, even though there's a greater kilkul, there's a hefsed of millions of dollars, but it's a shtikl tikkun, so that's enough. That's called malachas machshavas. It's not a vart of getting hanor. So that's what Tosfos explains. Again, the Gemara says, Omer Rab Nachman Sakin Shalavet is come, you have a knife, that's also about hanor because of mishamshay. Kareh is one of the malachas. So the example of kareh is kareh al manas litver. A person, he rips the garment a little more because he has to sew it up. So he rips it a little more to be able to sew it well. So kareh al manas litver constitutes a malacha. So what happens if he's kareh, he rips kriya to be yotzei if a relative dies? So then the Gemara says, that's misakeh. That's also misakeh. You don't need al manas litver there. That's also called misakeh. That's a shaila. Yeah, the Rambam says a person is angry and he vents out his anger by ripping or by smashing something. So the Rambam said that's also misakeh. And yes, that seems to be against the Gemara, because the Gemara said that since that's an avera to be in such a rage till he smashes something, till he breaks something, the Gemara seems to say that that's called mekalkal. That's not called misakeh. The Rambam writes not like the Gemara. The Rambam writes that it is misakeh. The Rambam holds that the maskanos of Gemara, it is misakeh.
Psychological, you know, getting rid of your feelings.
His frustrations, yeah. Getting out all of his frustrations. Yeah, that's a Rambam Paschal like that.
Yeah.
The Gemara said he broke a glass because the people were a little too cheerful. I don't know. To calm out, to tone everything down. I don't know. So let's see again. What's the din of Rab Nachman? Sakan shalav edes kham. You have a knife that's also bano. The only way you can imagine a knife also bano, misham shalav edes or. Okay. Zmuta lishchad ba. Why is it muta lishchad ba? The Gemara is going to say, muta lishchad ba because it's mekalka. Because the animal is worth more alive than dead.
He can eat it now.
Right. Yeah, he can eat it. He's hungry now to eat it. But the animal was worth more. If he would have sold it while it's alive, it would have been worth more than all of the flesh is worth, all the steaks put together. The steaks are worth $1,000 while the animal is alive, it's worth $5,000 because it can do malacha and people can ride on the animal.
The case with the horse. There is a small benefit. Yeah, with the racing horse.
So in Hilchas Shabbos, as long as there's some benefit, that's called misakeh. But as far as Isuri Hanoah is concerned, it's only called this only in violation if the revach outweighs the hefsid. See, the hefsid outweighs the revach. So that's what the Gemara says, mutal ishchat bo, because it's mekalkalhu. But if I already shechted an animal, and I have a steak that's already broiled, and I want to cut, I have a fork, I don't have a knife, and I take a sack and shalav it is on, so to cut it up in little pieces, it's a steak, and I need a knife to cut it up. I'm not going to hold a fork with the whole steak like this. So that's called getting hano. That's called getting hano. Well, so lachta chabarabasa mutal ish rabbah mekalkova, so lachta chabarabasa misakinhu. It doesn't mean misak, means he's getting hano. He's getting hano from the knife. Here there's a famous discussion. The Rebbe Rav Yonis and Eibishitz has a sefer on Yeridei that's called Crazy of Placey. He wrote a sefer on Choshimish, but that's called Urim and Tumim. Urim and Tumim, Crazy of Placey, the same thing. In the big day Kohen Gadol. So he has a whole pilpul. Why don't you say mitzvahs lavli honest nitnu? But the next line of the Gemara, let's see. First, Omar Rabbi, so Rabbi says the statement of Rav Nachman is not 100% correct in all cases. Sometimes geshecht an animal, the animal is not always worth more alive than dead. What if the animal is already holding by? May have asked Mishnah. The animal is 119 years old and is holding by the end already, and the animal is mesukenis, held by gesisa. So you take a sack and shalavida, you shecht it quickly. If you're not going to hurry, hustle now, it'll drop dead. It'll be nevela. So it'll sell for much less. If you shecht it, that'll be glat kosher, worth much more. So if he runs quickly and he takes a sack and shalavida, he shechts the animal. If you would sell it while it's alive, you wouldn't get too much. It's holding by the end, by gesisa. So that's what Rabbi says. Pamim, sometimes shashechet oser. Sometimes shechting the animal is a violation of Yisur Hanah. When is that? If the animal is b'mesukenes. If the animal is holding by the end. So it's not worth so much alive. It's worth more geshechten than it's worth alive. And sometimes mechatech is mutter. Sometimes to take a sack and shalav and to cut a piece of meat is not called getting hano. If I have a steak on my plate and I want to eat it and I need a knife to cut into little pieces, I can't hold a whole steak in my hand like this. I have to cut it. So that's called nehne. What if I have a big fancy steak that I can give as a gift to someone, and then it's not on my plate and I'm holding by eating it in the restaurant and I need a knife, then it's called getting hano. I want to give shalach manis to somebody. So if I give a whole steak, it's beautiful. If I cut it up into little pieces, what kind of shalach manis is that? It looks ridiculous. Right. So if you, and sometimes he says, mechatech is mutter, sometimes to cut up a piece of flesh would not be considered a violation of Yisur Hanah. When is that? But atmi, if you have a big flanken, if you have a big chunk of a big animal, the kaiman the korbanah, that it's only to give as a gift. A korban is a gift to someone, to an adam chashuv. So if you're going to cut it in little pieces, so it's worth less. It was worth more when it's in one big piece than it is now. If you're eating at home, holding by eating the steak, so the using the knife of Avodah Zarah to cut it into smaller pieces, that's called nehene. But if you cut up a thing that's aimed to give as a gift, you cut up the little pieces, then you're ruining it. It was worth more before than now. So this is the famous Gemara, this is the famous Kasher Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz works on. Before you do a shechita, say a brocha shekashem satsoro ala shechita. So he assumes, and the Rambam writes, it's a mitzvah lishchot. The Rambam lists off which are the 613 mitzvahs. So he lists one of the mitzvahs, says a mitzvah that whenever you're interested in eating flesh, you should shech the animal and invest. The Rabbi writes, what's for mitzvah, then mitzvah. If a person wants to be a vegetarian, he never has to shecht. It's a heter. If you want to eat flesh, you have to make sure that is geshechtim properly. Otherwise, it'll be a nisa nevela. But it's not a mitzvah. How come you say a bracha? She could have shown a bit mitzvah. So it's ivanu. No. Korban Pesach is not a mitzvah to shecht. Korban is a mitzvah to shecht. But you say a bracha even when you shecht chulin. The shechtim in America also say a bracha. Why? You say a bracha on a matar also. When you make an eruve trumin. It's a mitzvah when you make an eruv chatzeris. It's a mitzvah to make. No, it's a heter. If you make eruv chatzeris, you're allowed to carry in the area. If you make eruv tchum, and you're allowed to go chutz l'tchum. It's a matir. It's not a mitzvah. You mafresh trumas amaisris. That's also a machlokes. Whether froshes trumas amaisris is a mitzvah, or it's just a matir. It takes off the yisa tevels and ishke mitzvah. A lot of times it's said brach on a matir, not on a mitzvah. So the Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz assumes that shechita is a mitzvah. We have a klal mitzvah, lavli honest nitnu. If you, let's say I have a shofar that's also b'hanoah for some reason or another. I took a neder not to get hanoah from the shofar. Then at Rosh Hashanah, I'm stuck. The only shofar that I have is the shofar that I took a neder that not to get hanasa. Do I have to be mata neda first in order to be allowed to use it to blow shofar shel mitzvah, tkiyah shel mitzvah? So the Gemara says, no, it's not a violation of the neda. Mitzvah is lovely hanas nitnu. If I'm going to use the shofar for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar, that doesn't constitute an act of hanah. So that's the kasha that Rabbi Yonis and Eibishtis is bothered with. Why does the Gemara say that sometimes to use the sakin for shechita purposes, sometimes it's nene, sometimes it's not nene, depends whether the revach is greater than the hefzid or the hefzid is greater than the revach. In fact, that even if the revach is greater than the hefzid, why don't you say mitzvah slavli honest nitnu? So that's the whole discussion. Mitzvah slavli honest nitnu. Is shechita really a mitzvah? If it's only a matah, maybe you can't apply mitzvah slavli honest nitnu. So that's a whole discussion in the Achrenim after Rabbi Yonis and Eibishtis raised the issue. So there's a whole literature on that kash. Shai.
What did he answer?
Gotta remember. I don't remember. I don't think he answers that. That's the later Gedolim discussed that. It's not really a mitzvah. He gives a different answer. I forgot already what he said.
I'll be able to say, I don't know.
Yes, I don't know a lot of things. That's not a chiddush by me. There's a discussion, there's a Gemara in Yevamos. There's one perek in the end of Yevamos about chalitza, perek mitzvahs chalitza. Self-contained perek has all the dinim of chalitza. So the Gemara discusses that it's permissible to use a sandal shel chalitza which is osa bahanoa. The woman is not allowed to remarry. The husband, a woman is married, her husband died, left no children. No children from this wife, no children from any previous marriage, no children from his girlfriends. He left no children. So the din is the wife needs chalitza, she's not allowed to remarry. So she has to take off the shoe from the right foot of the yovam, of the husband's surviving brother. If he has a surviving brother, he has no surviving brother, so there's no need for chalitza. If he has a surviving brother, she has to do chalitza. And only when she does the chalitza, then she's permitted to remarry. So would you say mitzvah's lovely, honest nitnu? That since it's a mitzvah to do chalitza, or would you say it's a matir? So that's where Rabbi Yonis and Eibishtis digs up that Gemara. Yeah, but it's not necessarily the same. There, chalitza is a mitzvah. Here, shechita, maybe shechita bechalal is not a mitzvah. That's the question, whether shechita is a mitzvah or not. The Rambam writes that shechita is a mitzvah. And the Ravid writes, he doesn't think it's correct. It doesn't belong in the listing of the 630 mitzvahs. Shechita is a matir. So the question is, maybe the Rambam meant the same thing. The Rambam counts parshios also. Take, for example, the Rambam counts one of the mitzvahs is that a zav is tummy, that a yoledus is tummy, that a person goes to a funeral is tummy. So what's the mitzvah? There is no mitzvah. It's a din. So the Rambam is counting parshios also. The Rambam picked this up from the Goyim before him. The halachas gedolos, they include in the minyan mitzvahs things that are not like shaking a lulav and putting on tefillin and reciting kriyashma and so on. They don't necessarily count dafke mitzvahs. A mitzvah, you have to go and do something. They count a parsha in the Torah. It's an institution. So the institution, the Rambam writes, get, to give a get to your wife. So give a get is a mitzvah. What is a hida mitzvah? To make a get on a golden plaque. No mitzvah, there's no hida mitzvah. Get is a matir. If you write the get on a shmata, there's no violation of hida mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. And nonetheless, the Rambam counts it as a mitzvah. It means the parsha is gerishin. So maybe he just meant parsha shchita. That's a question. When the Rambam counted shchita as a mitzvah, did he really mean that it's a mitzvah? So Rav Soloveitchik thought, and many gedolim before him, Rav Chaim Berlin has like this. Also, the alumni of Yeshivas Rav Chaim Berlin put out a collection of letters many years ago. They put out 10 years ago. They put out a collection of letters of Rav Chaim Berlin, one volume. And after they put it out, then they discovered that many more letters. Then they reprinted 3 volumes. The one volume became 3 volumes. And they included everything they had in the first volume. Then they had many more. So one of the letters is about this also. Someone wrote such a pilpul. So the one who sent corresponded with Rav Chaim Berlin was the older brother of Rav Meir Bar Ilan, the Netziv. Rav Pirsch Leib Berlin was the Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin. Volozhin lasted for 90 years. From 1801, it was founded by Rav Chaim Volozhin, the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, and it was closed by the Russian government in 1891, 1892. So it lasted 90 years. And the Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva the last 39 years. 39 years is a long time. For president of university, no one lasts 39 years. Rosh Yeshiva also. And there were many attempted coups, because he was not the direct descendant. He married into the family. He married the daughter of Rabbi Tzol of Alojin. He was not a direct descendant of Rabbi Chaim Alojin. So many of the direct descendants tried to depose him, and they didn't succeed. So he was the Rashi for the last 39 years. So he had two wives. So the first wife died, and he married the second wife. Second wife was the daughter of the Aruch HaShulchan. Mrs. Aruch HaShulchan was his sister. So he married his niece. The second marriage was his niece. So Rabbi Chaim Balin was a son from the first wife, and Meir Bar Ilan was a son from the second wife. Meir Bar Ilan is one of the founders of TI. He was once the president of YU. And Chaim Balin was his brother. Rabbi Chaim Balin was the brother of Meir Bar Ilan. So they corresponded, someone, Tam Chacham, corresponded with Rabbi Chaim Balin. So he understood that the Ramam Shita is that Shechita is a mitzvah. So how do we fulfill a mitzvah? Whenever I buy flesh, it's understood that the Shechet in Iowa, or wherever he's shechting the flesh, the Shechet is agreeing to be the Shliach on behalf of all of the people who want to eat his flesh in the future. So when I eat a piece of flesh, it turns out that I fulfilled the mitzvah with Shlichus last week, or last year, or 2 years ago. Who knows how long the flesh is sitting in the freezer? It could be sitting there for 2 years. It turns out that the Shechet was my Shliach to do the mitzvah for me. So Rabbi Chaim Alin writes, what are you, crazy? Why? How did he turn out to be a Shlich? He doesn't know who you are. How can he be a Shlich? What, he agrees to be a Shlich? He says, yes, an Ishken mitzvah. The Rambam never meant that it's a mitzvah. The Rambam meant, like Rabbi Soloveitchik, the Rambam is counting parshios, like the institution of divorce. He counts the institution of Shechita. It doesn't mean that it's a mitzvah. But the Kesef Mishnah on the side of the Rambam understood the Rambam Kipshuta, that it's really a mitzvah. He said, if you don't, it's a conditional mitzvah. Like, my firstborn baby is a girl, so I don't have the mitzvah of pidyon haben. If you want to be a vegetarian, you don't have a mitzvah of shechita. But if you decide you want to eat fleishiks, then it's a mitzvah that you should take a shech to behema. And all the people today who eat flesh, we're not mekayim the mitzvah. We didn't shech the behema. We didn't appoint the shechet as a shliach for us. Because Mishle learns the Rambam Kipshuta, that it's really a mitzvah.
To do shritah.
That's for sure not. So the shaila is,
you have to be very well.
You have to be strong, you have to know, and you have to know the dinim. You have to know the dinim, you have to know the technicality, the technique. You have to know how to do it. See, on the Gemara, the beginning of the second parak, Daf Chav Zayinam and Aleph, the Mishnah says there, v'di'eved, if you shech the kana neveshet in the behemah, v'di'eved, it's good. What do you mean, v'di'eved? B'di'evit, if you shecht one ba'if, it's good. What do you mean, b'di'evit? Isn't that the din l'chatchila? Mar says, no, l'chatchila, you should shecht by the oaf, you should shecht both the kona and the resha. And by the behema, you shouldn't rely l'chatchila on ruba kekuloi. You should shecht the whole kona and the whole resha. So if you shecht roiv of the kona, roiv of the resha, it's only good b'di'evit, but l'chatchila, you should really do more. That's how the Gemara says. So this is a diyun, is this a l'chatchila deraisa? Or is this a l'chatchila derabbanan? So that's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos earlier. Here it says Le'el on the side of the Gemara. Le'el Daf Yutes Amar Aleph. It's quoted on Daf Yutes. There's a sefer Lev Aryeh on Chulin, a classic from years ago, from the early 1800s. So the Lev Aryeh on this Daf Chavzayim points out that it's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos on Daf Yutes whether the L'chatchila here is the Raisa the Rabban. So Tosfos writes a klal in the end of Nida, that l'chatchila deraisa only makes sense if you're talking about a mitzvah. Taisa gives an example, chalitza. L'chatchila, the proper way to do chalitza is the yavama has to remove the shoe from the right foot of the yavam, and she has to recite psukim, he has to recite psukim back and forth. L'chavatzi l'kach, she says, me'en yavami l'hokum l'yachim shem b'Yisrael, l'yavah yadmi, he says, l'chavatzi l'kachto, and then she has to spit on the floor in front of him also. And b'di'evit, if you didn't do the rikiki, you didn't do the spitting, you didn't do the kriyas apsukim, you just did the chalitza, b'di'evit, that's good. But l'chatchila, you should do more. You should do the whole story. So Tosfos says, you see that you have l'chatchilas and b'di'evits on the level of the raisa, because chalitza is a mitzvah. It's not merely a matir. So there's a mitzvah b'shleimus, and there's a mitzvah shalo b'shleimus. If you do the mitzvah b'shleimus, you get more levyosin, get more schar in olam haba. If you do a mitzvah shalav shalim musa, you get less livyos and get less schar in olam haba. But Tosfos says, on a get is not a mitzvah, a get is a matir. So does it make sense that l'chatchila should have written a get like this? And b'di'evit, if you didn't do that, the get will be kosher. You have a lot of mishnayos like that, l'chatchila should write a get like that, but that's a dead giveaway that it's only midrabbanan. Because it doesn't make sense in a matir to talk about lechatchila, you should do the matter like this and b'riyevet like that. Hagola, lechatchila, you should do the hagola like this and b'riyevet, it's good like that. What do you mean if it's good b'riyevet? It's good lechatchila. In a mitzvah, you can say there's a mitzvah b'shleimus, a mitzvah shalav b'shleimus. So that's a machlekes. Rashi and Tosfos, does it make sense to have it alachatchila deraisa and shchita? If shchita is a mitzvah, then you have to talk about alachatchila deraisa, mitzvah b'shleimus, as opposed to mitzvah shalav b'shleimus. But if you hold that shchita is not a mitzvah at all, it's just a matir. If you want to eat flesh, make sure that it's geshocht, and otherwise you'll be in violation of isen avela. So it's only a matir, it's not a mitzvah, so then it can only be a lachatchila midirabon. It does make sense to say lachatchila derais. So the Kesa Mishnah on the side of the Rambam in Hilcha Shchita goes lishitosai in the Kesa Mishnah what he wrote on the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He thinks that the Rambam really holds that it's a mitzvah. So he thinks that the Rambam holds that these lachatchilas on Daf Chav Zayin are lachatchilas deraisa. He learns that it's lachatchila deraisa because it's a mitzvah. So it's feasible to have a lachatchila mitzvah bishleimusa as opposed to a mitzvah shalom b'shleimusa. So Rav Chaim Berlin thinks that it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, what are you talking about? Shechita is a mitzvah, gas, and ishke mitzvah. It's a matir. That's what he argues over there.
It's a matir that leads to a mitzvah because you're going to be eating.
The eating is echad nishke mitzvah.
We can
drink water, we can have ice cream, we can eat other things. We don't have to eat flesh. Yeah.
Sar bar chayim can be a shochet.
Shouldn't be a shochet. Okay. Yeah. When you shech the behemah, there clearly is tzar. We don't know if there's more tzar or less tzar. If you do, many Rishayim assume that the Torah instructed us how to do shchita, because this way there's going to be less pain. We don't know if that's necessarily true. Before the Nazis killed all the Jews, at first they were worried about tzar balichayim. So they said they wanted to outlaw shchita. So they said you can only shecht so many animals to the. They felt that shchita is more inhumane than the way they kill the animals. But the Jews said we need it for religious purposes. We have to do shchita. So by the Ashkenazim, the minig is that we don't remove the chalev from the nevela. We don't know exactly how to do nikra chalev, so we check twice as many animals as we really need because we don't eat achurayim. A whole section of the animal we don't eat. By the Sfarim, they don't have such a minig. So they do nikra, they check the amount of flesh, they check the amount of behemoths that they need for consumption. And Ashkenazim don't do nikra chalev, so we check twice as many. So the Germans didn't allow the Jews to shecht more animals than were necessary because they were so concerned about tzar balichayim. That's a question. It's not so clear. The American government also wanted to outlaw shechita. They're still pilpling. Every couple of years it comes up again. So we're not so sure whether the shechita is less tzar balichayim or more tzar balichayim. It doesn't matter. That's the halacha. We have to do shechita.
Perhaps we start with the premise that there are instances when shechita is required, such as karbanos or by Karmi Pesach, so that sets the standard of shechita. Those are doraisa, whether we eat from them or not, like an ola. So that sets the standard of shechita, and everything follows from that.
That is true. So what everything follows? But that's a mitzvah to do shechita by karbanis. Shechita kabbalah halacha zrika, the four parts of the mitzvah of hakrovas hakorm that are ma'akev. Shechita kabbalah halacha zrika, but over here shechita schulin is not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. So that's the shaila.
But the definition of shechita would be: do you cut the whole or just roll? So if you're talking about the pratim, then the pratim are possible. You know, we're talking about the pratim. We're talking about the doraisas, and then they carry off it. That's a standard for all shechita.
That's what you mean. Maybe it's a lechatchila deraisa by karbanis. And whatever you do by karbanis, that's what we apply to shechita schulin. That could be. The Ramban translates the words of the pasuk like that. The pasuk says in Chumash, when we'll enter Eretz Yisrael and we'll live far away from the Beis Hamikdash, we'll be interested in eating meat. So in the Midbar, everybody was right around the Mishkan. So whoever wanted to eat meat can bring a korban shlamim and they'll eat the flesh. And when you'll come to Eretz Yisrael, you'll be far away. Kiyichak mimcha amokam. You live far away from the Beis Hamikdash. It says, "Zavachta kasher tzivisicha." Baruch Shalom gives us permission to shecht. How do you translate "zavachta kasher tzivisicha"? So the Ramban says the original mitzvah of shechita was only given on karbanos, and now when you come to Eretz Yisrael, "zavachta an chulin kasher tzivisicha an karbanos." You have to shecht chulin the same way He used to shecht the karbonis all the 40 years in the midbar. They shecht the karbonis, but they didn't require hilcha shechita for chulin. They could do nechira simanim. They could take a saw and cut the neck off. That would also be good. After it comes to Eretz Yisrael, you can no longer saw off the neck. You have to do the shechita for chulin the same way you've been doing shechita by kachim the last 40 years in the midbar. That could be.
Some
of the Achrayim have like that. Chavis Yair writes like that. They're killing an animal is not Tzav Alechayim. So Shaila.
The removal of a Gid Anoshe, if we could remove the Gid Anoshe without many difficulties, that would give us a whole part of the animal.
We do remove Gid Anoshe, yeah.
All that part,
we don't favor,
generally do not
favor. No, the Gid Anoshe, that is easier to remove. We take out Chumris from the Rabbanon, also we take more than, but the Chalev, that's problematic. That Ashkenazim have a tradition that we don't know how to remove the Chalev, so we don't eat that whole section of the animal. And the Sfardim always had a tradition. They know how to remove the Chalev. Yeah, the Chalev is a problem.
Many times I thought that Trevor, we don't favor meat.
I don't think so, no.
Do they favor meat?
Yeah, sure they do. The Gid Anoshe, they do take out. Usually Schwartz in the slaughterhouse takes it out. A goy takes it out. They have rabbis watching, they have shochting watching, but they know how to take it out. The issue is on the chaluf. So this Shailov, Rabbi Yenis and Abishitz, I think he carries it over to Chalitza also. He says the woman wants to do the mitzvah of Chalitza, so the Gemara talks about using a Chalitza shoe, which is also Bahano. That's also Chalitza shoe, which is Asamano. So the Gemara just says, Chalitza shoe has a shear. Let's say a lulav has to have a minimum shear of 4 tvachim. Hadassim and Arabs have to have a minimum size of 3 tvachim tall. Lulav has to be a tefach taller to be able to be minane above it. An esrig has a minimum size shear, either ke'egos or ke'beitzo. Machalakis hatanaim, what's the minimum size? So if you have an esrog shel avodah zarah, or you have a lulav shel asherah, that's oimed l'sreifa. So the Gemara has a klal kitoisei mechdu shura. I treat it as if it, whatever shear it needs, is considered as if it doesn't have the shear. So that's a din. Whenever you need an object that requires a certain minimum size shear, and the thing is asabano oimed l'sreifa, it's shel asherah shel avodah zarah. So whatever shear it needs, it only has the shear temporarily. It's not going to have the shear too long because you're going to burn it. Rav Moshe Bick used to give a mashal to explain. Moshe Bick from the Bronx used to give a mashal for kitos mechdushur. So he used to give the mashal that apparently a lot of Puerto Ricans who wanted to. Puerto Ricans are usually shorter than Americans. You ever noticed? So he said when they wanted to join the police force, you have to have a minimum height. So they'd always stand on the tippy toes and stand as high as they could and shine. They made it. So, but they were only standing on the tippy toes for half a second. So al pidin, that doesn't count. When you talk about a shear, it has to be a shear that's going to last for a longer time. So if you have a lulav that's 4 tvachim tall, but it's not going to be 4 tvachim tall for too long. You're going to burn it soon. It's aymed l'sreifa. You want to shake a lulav now, but in half an hour after you shake the lulav, you're going to burn it. So it's not going to have the shear for too long. So that shouldn't be called a shear. By the police, they did allow them to serve as policemen, but they shouldn't have, because it should have been kitois and mechtu shur. Shir is only called the shir if he has. So by the shoe of chalitza, by the sakan shal shchita, there is no minimum shir. By the sandal shal chalitza, there is a minimum shir. The Gemara says, it's not a shir in the cheftza of the shoe. You don't need 4 tvachim, 3 tvachim, ke'egos, ke'beitzo, but it has to be chayfes roiv haregel. That's the shir. Has to cover up roiv of the regel. So the Gemara says, if you have a sandal shell avodah zarah that's oimed l'sreifa, asherem tisrufum ba'esh. So if you have a sandal shell avodah zarah that's oimed l'sreifa, the Gemara says kitoisi mechta shiura, so it doesn't have the shear. So that's why it's no good. But if not for the issue of kitoisi mechta shiura, there wouldn't have been a problem in using a sandal shell avodah zarah. Aye, but it's also bahanua. So the answer is no. The Rashba says mitzvah slavli honest nitin. She's doing a mitzvah. Ah, but by doing the mitzvah, she's namuteris lehinase lashuk. Isn't she getting hanua from it? So he says no. The hanua comes. She did the mitzvah. The melech. She's not allowed to, the Yavama Lashuk is not allowed to marry till she does the mitzvah. Once she does the mitzvah, she's allowed to marry. Not that the sandal shel chalitza is mata her to marry. She did the mitzvah and she's allowed to marry. So why not say the same by shechita? That's what he discussed. Why not say shechita is a mitzvah? Once you did the mitzvah, so mimele, there's no issur to eat and avail. So the question is it the same or not?
When we were doing Erevin, you said ketosei michta shure is when you have to have it solid, that if you crumble and put it together, but it would still be good, then it didn't matter. That's why the kura would be good, even if it's shalavodizar. So why would the na'al shal chalisa? You could have ripped it apart and glued it back together again. Therefore, it wouldn't be a problem of ketosei michta shure. It didn't have to be solid. By the esro, you couldn't rip it apart and then glue it back together.
Right.
But any time.
That's not sure. I treat it as if it's chopped up.
As if it's chopped up.
Even though it's not yet chopped up, I treat it as if it's chopped up. So the sandal shachalitza has to be one sandal.
Okay,
by a mechitza, you have tiny little particles, but they sit on top of each other, so the makam is mukaf. You don't need one cheftza of a mechitza that should be ten tvach. You need the makam should be mukaf with a gova of ten tvach.
So it's a chopped up shoe that's covering the leg.
That's not acceptable. It has to be a cheftza of a shoe. Cheftza of a shoe has to be one unit of a shoe. So kitos mech to shura, kitos mech is like it says, the chites nachash anachoshes. Moshe Rabbeinu chopped it up into, not Moshe Rabbeinu, who chopped up Nachash and Nechoshes? Chizkia. Later. So he chopped it up into tiny particles. So Ketos Mech Teshur means whatever is Zaymed L'Sreif, I treat it as if it were chopped up already now. So a chopped up sandal is not acceptable for Chalitza. A chopped up Mechitza is good, because the Mokum is Mukav, the Gova Yod Tvachim. I don't need it should be one solid piece. As long as the makam is mukaf, the gova yot tvachim is good. I thought you were going to raise a different issue, which is a serious issue. Maybe only apply kitos mech to shur to luluf to an esrig where the shear is in the cheftza. It has to be three tvachim, has to be four tvachim, has to be keegos. Here, it should be chayfas roiv haregel. If I have a tinier foot, so the shoe can be tinier. If I have a bigger foot, I need a bigger shoe. So that's a different kind of a shear. That's not a shear in the cheftza of the shoe. So that's a discussion. Okay, so Mishnah and others have a discussion of that. Do you really apply it? Does it really make sense to apply it to the sandal shel chalitza? So that's the Tumim has that the crazy place. It has this discussion every day. But mitzvah slavli hanas nitkum.
Is the chalitza the mitzvah on the man or the woman?
I think the mitzvah is on the man. I don't know if it's on the woman.
It's on the man, so it's really not a matzah.
Once the mitzvah, she's not allowed to be married till the mitzvah is performed. Once the mitzvah is performed, then she's allowed to be married.
That's a byproduct.
It's not directly a matir. That's the same by shechita. That's what Placey wants to say. That by shechita, it's a mitzvah. Once you did the mitzvah, some mele, there's no isin avail. You can argue, you can say, no, the shechita is a matir. So you're getting hung off on the knife. It's not he did a mitzvah and a mela, it's a byproduct. So that's the discussion. That's a discussion that the crazy places start. So what did the Gemara discuss again? You have a knife that was used in the base of Avodah Zarah as Tashmishi Avodah Zarah. These are the Shech Korbanos for the Avodah Zarah. So the knife is also Banu Mishamshi Avodah Zarah. So a whole discussion, when are you permitted and when you're forbidden to use this knife to Shech the animal? So if the animal is a Mesukenes, so you better shecht it quickly, or otherwise it's going to become an availer. If you're going to shecht, it's going to be glatt kosher, it'll be worth a lot of money. So then you're getting the revach is greater than the kilkel, because you want to sell the animal while it's alive, you're not going to get too much. It's a mesukenes. So the revach is greater than the kilkel, so that's called getting hana. But if you're going to shecht a live animal that's very healthy, and if it's worth more alive than dead, so then it's not considered getting hana. So the Gemara effect akash on the last line. What are you hacking about? Whether you're getting hana or not getting hana, you're talking about the knife was used in the church for Avodah Zarah. So they were shechting nevelas. Treif. So you have a treifa knife. So how can you use a treifa knife? It's going to make the flesh treif. You're going to shecht the kosher baby. You're going to make a treif. Fegma v'tepekle mishum shamnunis. Shamnunis di sura. He said you can't use a treifa knife. They were using in the church for years and years. So it has treifas all over it. So of course you can't. You're going to shecht the kosher behemoth and going to get all the schmaltz from the nevelas on the kosher behemoth. Everything more, we're talking about chadosha. Brand new knife. that they designated to use in the church to shech karbonos l'avodah zarah, so it's osa b'ano, but they never used it yet. They never actually used it, so it doesn't have any traces. Frag di Gemara, is it didn't correct? Chadosha. There is a machlekes hatanoim between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. They had many machlekes, and so there is a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. There are two psukim that talk about that. We said there are four things in Avodah Zarah that are osa b'ano: the actual getchke itself, the deity that somebody worships, then the noyei Avodah Zarah, kesu zav aleim, the jewelry, the dress, the clothing on top of the Avodah Zarah. Then the Mishamshi Avodah Zarah, the altar and the knife, and then the Tekruvis Avodah Zarah. So what's the Isur Hanav Avodah Zarah? Let's say a person makes a totem pole. He makes a getchke, and he didn't worship it yet. He manufactures the getchke, and he didn't have a chance to worship it yet. That has already become Asa Banah Mishas Asiya, or does it only become Asa Banah if they actually worship it? So there's a... Huh? So we pass on Hazman Alam Machleg Zabai Virav, whether Hazman Milsa, Hazman Alam Milsa. The original Machleg Zabai Virav is by Mishamshi Ameis. Someone died. So when you put Tachrichim on the Meis, not only the Meis is Asamano, the Mishamshi Ameis and Tachrichim are also Asabano. So that's a Machleg Zabai Virav. Someone died, and I went to the store and I bought Tachrichim. If I bought Tachrichim while I'm still alive, so you can't say that Mishamshi Ameis, I'm still alive. It's only osa b'ano because it's mishamish and meis. But if the person died already, and then you go, you buy tachrichim, so that's a machlok. Zabai holds, it's already called mishamshi hameis al shem ha'osid. It's oimid l'shamesh hameis. And we pass like Rava, usually pass like Rava against Zabai, except for the six cases of Yalki Gam. So we pass like Rava, hazman alab milsi. But here by Avodah Zarah, that's there are two psukim. One pasuk sounds like it becomes osa b'ano mishas asiyah. I made it, I designated it as an Avodah Zarah, said already an Avodah Zarah. The other pasuk is Mashma, only becomes Asa Manoa from the time they actually worshipped it. So Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel both say it depends whether it was a Jew or a Goy. In which direction does it depend? So that's a Machlek, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel. So I think we paskin by a Nochri who makes an Avodah Zarah, it's already Asa Manoa, because he's probably going to worship it. And by a Jew who makes an Avodah Zarah, he may change his mind. So it only becomes Asa b'ano from the time that he actually worships it. And Rabbi Shmuel holds vakert. If a Jew makes the Avodah Zarah zerger, so a Jew makes the Avodah Zarah mochomer, so it becomes Asa b'ano right away. And if a guy makes the Avodah Zarah, it's only Asa b'ano from the time that he worships it. So the Gemara says, Chadosha, you have a brand new knife that was designated by the church to shech karbonis, and it has a din of Mishamshi Avodah Zarah. It can't be. Bein le Rabbi Shmuel, bein le Rabbi Akiva, they had a machlokes about Avodah Zarah that you designated a totem pole, a getchke, as an Avodah Zarah, but you didn't worship it yet. Whether the din applies to either a guy, which direction, that's by Avodah Zarah Mamish, but by Mishamshe, the knife that you're going to use to shech. So that's the Gemara's kasha. Bein le Rabbi Shmuel, bein le Rabbi Akiva, Mishamshe Avodah Zarah, heina Mishamshe Avodah Zarah heim. The knife is Mishamshe. This everybody agrees to. Until you, just by designating it as a knife to use to shech karbonos l'avodah zarah l'chola deis.
Why can't you just kasha the knife?
The Gemara is going to answer. Maybe you kasha the knife. That's the next answer. Gemara is going to answer that afterwards. Yeah, that's a very good teretz. We have Amoraim here. Good. Good. They say Rav Velbel Soloveitchik once said a shiur on Kochim, and then he said a svara, and he got so enthusiastic about the svara that he said it must say in Rishonim, it's too good, it must say in Rishonim. Then he was so much more enthusiastic, he said it's too good, it has to say in a Gemara somewhere, it has to be from the Amoraim. Then he got more enthusiastic, he said it must be in Tanoim, he can't, it has to be in Tanoim. So the Talmidim looked and they found a Tosefta. It was a Beferish Tosefta that he wasn't aware of. Sometimes if it's very good, it has to be in the Gemara. Has to be in the Gemara. So that was the Gemara's kasha here. If you're talking, the Gemara asked the kasha, what are you just worrying about? The knife is osa b'ano. Is the rebach greater than the kilkel? Is the kilkel greater than the rebach? If it was a knife that was used in the church, it's treif. So this treif is going to make all the kosher flesh treif. The Gemara says, it was designated to shecht in the church for Avodah Zarah, but they actually never used it. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Bein the Rabbi Shmuel, bein the Rabbi Akiva, their whole machlokes is which din applies to a yid, which din applies to a goy, when does the Avodah Zarah become asa mishas hasiyah? When does it become only asa banon mishas avodah? But by mishamshay, they all agree. Somehow Abai v'rova are not involved here. Bein l'abai bein l'rova. Mishamshay Avodah Zarah only become asa banon mishoshay yeyovdu, from the time that it serves it. We paskin hazman alav milsehi, so it's good. Rava learns it out from Mishamshay Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, how does Rava know that hazman alav milsehi? So Rava says he learns it out from Mishamshay Avodah Zarah. What does Abai do? If Abai holds hazman alav milsehi, so why shouldn't the Mishamshay Avodah Zarah be osur bahano when you designate it? The Gemara never answers. The Gemara just says, Rava learns that his shita. That's how we paskin that hazman alav milsehi from the Mishamshay Avodah Zarah. So this is the Gemara's kasha. What are you just worried about Isuri Hano? Why aren't you worried about Treifas? The Gemara said it was never used yet for Treifas. The fact was never used for it was never used in the church, so it's not also Bano. So the Gemara answers two ends. E boys, Ema, if you want, you can say one teretz. They use the knife to chop logs. They never shechted any karbonis with it. It's Mishamshay Avodah Zarah. It doesn't have to be a knife or shechita. Iboy seima. If you want, you can say one answer. The pasuk be gavza l'avodas kacham. They use the knife to chop logs to put on the altar in front of Avodah Zarah. It's Mishamshay Avodah Zarah that we use manaf for shechting animals. The iboy seima. If you want to give an answer, be yishana. The knife was used many times for shechting the velas. But you kasha the knife. It's an old knife that actually was not only designated for Avodah Zarah, was used for Avodah Zarah, and it was taka tray for many years, and then we kasha it. So this is just parenthetic. If you have a tray for knife, how do you kasha it? So the rule in the Chumash is kibola kach polto. There are three ways to kasha things. If let's say I have a soup pot, and I cook treifa soup in the pot. So since you cooked with a lot of roitev, with a lot of liquid, so kibola kach polta, you do hagola. What if I have a broiler, and I broil treifa steaks on it, and the treifa steaks, they just have a little juice coming out, but it's not sitting in a pot of liquid. No, we assume it is balea. We assume the broiler is balea from the treifa nevela meat. So then you need dafka libun, kibola kach polto. The same way it was balea, bali mashkin, bali rotev. So you have to do libun. And if you have, let's say, barrels, and you had treifa liquid was sitting there for 24 hours, that's kovish kemevushal. So then the way to kasher it is by milav yirigim o yomim. You have to fill it up. Let's say you had barrels that contain stam yenam. Or you had barrels that contain some chametzdik drink. You had barrels, or you have, let's say, a truck that they used on the highway that transports milk from one place to the other. So it's flesh, so it's milchik. And then you want to kasha the truck to make it parava in order to be able to transport fleshig soup from one place to the other. So let's say they don't use any heat. It's just tzoinen. It's tzoinen, it's not yatza lettuce. Then a lot of the trucks, they have a heating element that it shouldn't get spoiled on the way. They keep it hot so it doesn't get root. Let's say it's a tzoinen, but it's kavush. So whenever you have a bliya of milchiks, a fleshiks, a chametz, a stam yenom, a kovish kemevushal, so then the way to kasher it is kibola kach polta, and then as you do miliv yirigim yom, you fill it up with water for 24 hours, a little more than 24 hours, then you drop all the water, then you fill it up again for another 24 hours, a little more than 24 hours, then you let it soak for a whole day, then you dispose of all that water, then you fill it up a third time. That's called miliv yirigim yom. If you really had the treifas in it, really surah bala, so then the Rishonim say it doesn't help. It only helps if it's hetera bala. If it's only fleshik, some milchiks, a chametz karam pesach, we consider hetera bala. Or if you had stam yenim is the surah bala, but it's only the rabbanon, so we're mekel. That milavir is good. So the halacha says that there are three ways to kasher, and we determine which way, which form of kasherization is needed. Kibola kach polta, how is it balea? So if you have a knife, how is the knife balea? What do you use a knife for on the table? You cut the treifa, let's say a person used a knife to cut treifa steaks on the table. So that's not agabi ho'esh. That's not agabi. If it's a broiler that was balea, agabi ho'esh, then you need libun. let's say if it's a piece of meat on the table, there is no roitiv, but it's not agabi huayish. So the halacha says that hagol is enough. So that's Taisus Kasha on Amud Aleph. That's a famous Taisus Shelibna Ba'ur. Why does the Gemara say that? If you have a tray for a knife, the way to make kosher it is by putting it in the fire, holding it libun. You should be good enough with hagola. Why do you all of a sudden? Why do you need libun hagola? Should be good. And there is such a Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara says that they used to have. Today we're all wealthy, so we have a separate set of pots and pans and silverware for Pesach. In a separate set for chametz, two separate sets. In days of the Gemara, they couldn't afford to have a separate set of everything. So every year they used to kasher all the kelim before Pesach. They used to take the chametz, the kelim, and they would kasher them. So Tosfos quotes the Gemara Psachim Daf Lamed, when they had chametz, they had knives, and they wanted to kasher it, they would do hagola on the knife. So how come there the Gemara says in Psachim, you have a chametz, the knife, you want to kasher it for Pesach, all you need is hagola. Hold the knife in burning hot water for a few moments, and here all of a sudden the Gemara says you have a trefa knife that the goyim were using for trefa behemoth for years and years. The way to kasher it is libum. Why? Why should you need libum? So Tosfos gives two answers. This is an issue in Yeruvah. So Tosfos gives two answers. So one answer they give, well, there are two different types of knives. There's a little knife that you sak and ktana, a knife that you use on the table to cut a steak on the plate. So that's not agabi hoesh. Not agabi hoesh, even though there is no roitev, so all you need is hagola. You don't need libum. But sometimes there's a knife that you hold a piece of meat over the fire, and you broil the meat on it. You don't always have a broiler. Sometimes you hold such a sakin gedola, like a shpud or askala. So you hold it over the fire. So a sakin gedola that you sometimes use agabi hoesh, so then you would need libum. So Agmar is talking a sakin gedola that they use sometimes agabi hoesh. The Gemara Pesachim is talking about a sak and ketana. Sure, that's a good answer. Then Tosfos quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, gives another answer. There's a Gemara, the very last daf in Maseches Avodah Zarah. The Gemara poses the following kashan. There are two parshas in the Chumash about kashering treifa kelim. One is in the end of Bamidbar, after the Mochama with Midyan. So the Bnei Yisrael were victorious in battle, and they killed all the men, and they captured all the women and the children. So the Chumash says that they in the battle, they were successful in the war. They took all the pots and pans and all the silverware from the soldiers in the army. So everything was treif, because the Midyanim were cooking chaza and basa b'chalim and all kinds of nevelas of treifas. So they had a kasherit. So the Torah says, since they were cooking treifa things, sometimes you need hagola, and sometimes you need libun, sometimes you have to gliyos on top of the fire. In Parshas Tzav, the Pasuk also talks about kashering. It says, if you cook a korban chatos today, so you can only eat the kohanim have to eat the korban chatos. Shlomim can be eaten by any Jewish person who's tohar. And the chatos and the noshim can only, it's kochi kochim, chatos and the noshim and the mincha, it's kochi kochim, can only be eaten by zichre kohuna in the azor, yom v'laylo at chatzos. You can only eat it. If you bring the korban today at 3 o'clock, you can eat it today and tonight till chatzos. Min atorah till tomorrow morning, alos hashachem in the rabbanon chatzos, kedei lahachik kesa'odem and aver. If you tell me you can eat it till alos hashachar, so alos hashachar is something like an hour and a half before sunrise. The sunrise keeps on getting earlier now. What time is sunrise now? 10 to 7 or something. So an hour and a half before, it's pitch black outside. He's not going to realize that it's not. So if you allow people to follow the din d'oraisa, he can eat till alos hashachar. He may continue. Koy may continue to eat the korban after alos hashachar. It'll be chayv koris. He will have violated an isa koris because it's nicer. If you leave it overnight, it becomes nice. So the made gzera the rabbanu shouldn't eat it after chatzos. So the pasuk says if you brought a korban chatos today and you cooked it in a pot, you should do hagola on the pot. And it doesn't say a word about libun. Umarak v'shuta b'amayim. If you cooked it in a klicheres, you shaver, finished it. You can't kasher a klicheres. But if you cooked it b'kli nechoshes b'shala, if you cooked it in a kli mateches, umarak v'shuta b'amayim, do hagola, and finished. So the Gemara frek takasha in the last daf in Avodah Zarah, how come in the end of Chumash b'amidbar, by the clay midyan, so that says there's an option. You can sometimes kasher with hagola and sometimes libun. And here in Parshas Tzav, it only says hagola, never says libun. Why doesn't it say if you broil the chatos on a broiler that you need libun? So Abaye, it's a machleg Abaye v'Rava. What's the answer on the Chumash? So Abaye quotes a melitza from the pasuk in the of Yagid Olav Reo. Bozev elimer al zeh. The pasuk in the end of Chumash Bamidbar is Megale hu adinami in Parshas Tzav. When you cook the korban chatos in the pot, sometimes libun, sometimes hagola. The pasuk says Marika Shtifa is hagola, but sometimes you will need libun. If you broil the chatos, you'll need libun. And we don't paskin like Abaye. It's not from the Al-Kagam. We paskin like Rava. Rava says, you don't say Yagid Olav Reo. No, he says in Parshas Tzav, it's a terabola. When you cook, Tosis quotes it over here. Tosis quotes, Besof Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Vav. It's read the very last daf in Avodah Zarah. The very last daf in Avodah Zarah. So Rava says, when you broiled chazer, or you broiled nevelis on a broiler, so it's Yisura Bola. So since when it was nivla, it was treif, so then you need libum. But if you broil the carbon chatos on a broiler, so it's mutter. And you eat up all the carbon chatos and you wash off the kli. So now, if you do hagol instead of doing libun, hagol takes that, if you have a kli that really needs libun. Instead of doing libun, you only do hagolah. But hagolah is going to knock out over 90% of the treif of bliya that it had. There's going to be a little bit, there'll still be a little bit of a bliya. Because since the bliya was nivlai de libun, so the only way to kick it out fully is to do libun. Since it was nivlai de ha'esh, bliya mtsos ha'mayim, without any roitiv, so the only way to get the bliya fully, to remove the bliya completely, is by doing a libun. But if you do a hagolah, it'll be a tam kolosh. What will be remaining will be a tam kolosh. So if you do the hagolah before alos hashachar, so an iser noiser can't be chal on a tam kolosh. If something already was treif, if something was nevela, and you broiled it on a broiler, and then you're going to do hagolah, so hagolah takes out 99% of the bli, it'll only be a tam kolosh. Tam kolosh is enough to retain an iser. It already was also from before. So tam kolish is sufficient to retain a nisa. But if you broiled a carbon chatos, everything is kosher with a mitzvah to eat it. You broil the carbon chatos, and then you're going to do hagol instead of libun, so the tam of the flesh of the chatos that will remain in the broiler will be a tam kolish. And then when it comes alos al-shachar in the morning, you want the isa noiser to be chal on the tam in the pot. So that's the chiddush that the pasuk tells you. You never need libun. Since it was hetera bola, and you're doing Hagolah before the Zmani Surah, so the Issa came Pichal on a Tam Kolosh. That's how we usually assume Pshat in the Din. So the Rabbin and Tam says, for Pesach it's always Hetera Bola. Pesach all year long, everything is kosher. So the Pat will only become Treif when Pesach comes. So do Hagolah before Pesach comes. Did Hagolah before, so when it comes, there are Pesach in the afternoon. When the Issa Chametz begins, Menatera, 2 hours before Chatzos, the Issa begins mid the Rabbanon. 1 hour before Chatzos, it's also Banon. 2 hours before Chatzos, also Bachilah mid the Rabbanon. So when it comes 2 hours before Chatzos, I already did the Hagolah. Since I already did Hagolah, so the Issa Chometz can't be Chal, because it's only a Tam Kolosh. So that's the Rabbeinu Tam Shita, that you never need Libun on Chometz Dikakelim that you want a Kasha for Pesach. Let's say you have a baking tin. You baked Mamish Chometz. He baked challahs, he baked cookies on a baking tin. And now you want to bake matzah, so you want to do kosher lePesach dikah things on the baking tin. So Rabbeinu Tam holds you don't need libun. All you have to do, if you do the kashering before Pesach, if you wait till Pesach, it's already Isura Bola, so then you're going to have to do libun. But normal person doesn't wait till Pesach, he wants to do the Hagola before. So we do the Hagola, Kodim, Zman Ho Isur, since it was a terabola, so whenever you need libun, you do Hagola, the tam that will remain behind will only be a tam kolosh, and it is a kem pichal and a tam kolosh. In Shulchan Aruch, we don't accept this Rabbein Tam. Shulchan Aruch, Nechos Pesach, they have all the dinim. Sometimes you need libun, sometimes you need hagol. If it's a baking tin, it says you need libun. So how come we don't accept the Rabbein Tam? It's an often gemara, the last daf in Avodah Zarah. The menever, it's a terabola. Let's say you have a grill. You used to use this grill for cheese sandwiches. So it's mamish, b'li amtsos ha'mayim, no roitiv, no mayim, no mashkim, but cheese is kosher cheese, not trefa cheese. So if you have something, you have a broiler that was fleshik for years, and you want to make it parava, you want to use it for milichus, let's say. So you don't have to do Liban, all you need is Hagolah. Whenever it's a Terebola, there's no need for Liban, Hagolah is enough. So how come over here by Chometz, Kedem HaPesach, should also be a Terebola? So we are Machmer Shulchan Aruch like the Ramban. The Ramban disagrees with the Rabbeinu Tam. He says, when you cook the carbon, when you broil the carbon chatos in the kli nechoshes, in the metal kli, it's not yet nicer. You have to wait till alos hashachan the next morning that it should become nicer. So if you do hagole on the kli nechoshes before alos hashachar, that's mamish a terabola. The iser is only chal in the morning. The shame nicer is only chal in the morning. Until tomorrow morning, it doesn't have a shame nicer. So iser can be chal on a heterabola. Or let's say fleshiks. I have a fleshik pot. Fleshik is not treif. When you cook milchiks with the fleshiks, then it'll become treif. So if you have a fleshik broiler, or you have a cheese grill, a milchik broiler, and you want to make it paraviv, so now there's no shemisa yet. No shemisa. So do hagola on the kli that should have really needed liban. You do hagola, only have left the tam kolish. And isa basa b'chola can be chal on a tam kolish. But if you have chametz kodem at Pesach, it is called chametz. It's just that it's irrelevant. It's only relevant on Pesach. There's man ha'isr, there's man nihuk ha'isr, is only on Pesach. But the Shem Chametz is there all year long. It's not like noiser, that it doesn't become noiser until alos al-shachar. It doesn't become basar b'cholov until you cook the cholov with the basar. But over here, it is Chametz. That's the lashon that the Ramban says. Chametz, shmoy olav. It's called Chametz all year long.
I thought you said there was a steer in the Shulchan Aruch, and Chavetz Chaim is one who said that we hold like the Ramban, but no one ever said that, and there's another Teretz why.
No, this, the Shulchan Aruch says you need Liban. Sometimes.
But not because it's Yisur.
But then, no, then there's another din that depends on Haterabola versus Yisurabola. That's the din that we learned in Kol HaBasa, the din of Nat Barnat.
Yeah.
What's the din of Nat Barnat? Let's say I have a fleshik pot, and I cooked a fleshik pot, I use it for fleshik soup within the last 24 hours. Okay. If it's ready after 24 hours, so min ha-toyra, it's not a fleshik pot anymore. You only need ha-gola mid-rabban. So let's say I have a fleshik pot, and I didn't kasher, and it's fleshik within the last 24 hours. So then I cook some parva soup in the pot. So the fleshik bliya is in the pot, that's nesina stam. Then the fleshik bliya goes out into the parva soup, that's nesina stam. Bar nesina tam. That's what we call the Rashi Tevis. Not bar not. Nois and tam. Bar nois and tam. The tam region was the flesh was nivla into the walls of the pot. Then I ate up all the flesh. I washed out the pot. Just the bliya. Then I cook vegetable soup in the pot. So the tam from the pot now goes into the soup. So it's vita. Nothing is treif yet. Now I want to know, can I serve this soup in a milchik bowl? So strictly speaking, based on the simple reading, we're machmer over here. But leaving out, we're machmer with chumris. But meikar adin, that's called nesin tam or nesin tam. So nesin tam or nesin tam is not a problem. So the Rishonim all explain, not barnat is only muta, not barnat the hetera. Not barnat the isur is also. Let's say I cooked chazer in the pot. Then I cook parva soup in the pot. So the parva soup becomes treif. Then I pour the burning hot parva soup into a soup bowl. The soup bowl becomes treif. Then I'll keep on going back to everything will become treif. Not by not the yisura, everything is also only not by not the hetera. The same svara, the ran and kol abos on the riff. There's a long ran. There's a one page where there's no riff at all. There's only ran at the end of kol abos, at the very end of per kol abos. So there's a long ran. So he explains all of this. So he says that here there's no riff, only ran. So that's, this long arichas explains this. There are two cases where there's a tam kolosh. One is if you do hagol instead of libun, where you really needed libun, you do hagol, so 99% of the whole tam is going to go, you're going to only be left with the tam kolosh. The other case is when you do a nesinas tam by nesinas tam. So not barnat is only going to be a tam kolosh, not going to be a tam bar, it's not going to be a gezunta flavor, a tam kolosh. If it's a tera, an isa can't be chal, you can't begin to have an isa chal on a tam kolosh. But if it's a not banat, the Issa was chal already. So a tam kolish is sufficient to preserve an Issa, to maintain an Issa. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, what if a balabasta cooked applesauce, kosher lepesach applesauce, in a chametz dika pot? She just cooked spaghetti for supper, then she washes out the pot, no more spaghetti, and she didn't kosher the pot, it's a chametz dika pot, and she cooks applesauce for Pesach. So the Shulchan Aruch says that's not barnat the heterah. If she cooks the applesauce before Pesach, the chametz dikabali is in the pot, and then it goes from the pot into the applesauce, and it's still not Pesach. It's still kaidem Pesach. So since it's not banat the hetera, so it says you're allowed to eat the applesauce on Pesach. So that's what the Mishnah Brura quotes the Taz and the Olam of Harshim Eskes Astira, the two dinim that depend on determining whether it's a terabola or a surabola. One din is not banat, one the other din is, do you ever need libun? You only need libun when it's a surabola. When it's a terabola, Rava said there's always sufficient with hagoli. Never need libun. So there's a contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch. When they get to hagola versus libun, they adopted the Shita Saramban. The Chomet Shmayolov, so the Shulchan Aruch says a lot of times, if you have a baking tin, you bake chalos, you bake the bread, so you need libum before Pesach. And here, when you get Tanat Banat, the Shulchan Aruch says lahakam. So the Mishnah Brura says, when the fact that we're machma by the libun shows that we should really be machma by the Nat Banat also. Machma by the Nat Banat means, so we discussed already, the Tosfos on the last daf in Avodah Zarah, and the Tosfos in Perek HaLabosa raised an issue. How do you ever do Hagolah? Let's say have a treifer spoon. So hold the treifer spoon in burning hot water for a few moments. So the treifer blia goes into the water. What's going to prevent the treifer blia from coming back into the spoon? So let it be balea back. So one opinion in Tosfos was no. Agav the tard lemifla. That's what you mean. Agav the tard mifla loybala. Since it just came out, the spoon will be balei anything else other than the time that it just spit out. So Tyson says, what? The spoon has ruach hakodesh. The spoon knows what to be balei. Well, not. That's ridiculous. It doesn't like that answer. So how do you ever kasha any tray for spoon, any tray for fork? It's going to spit out the tray for balei into the water. What's going to prevent it from absorbing back? So Tyson says you always have to either have shishim in the water against the little spoon, and you have a lot of water, so you have shishim, so the tray for blia goes into the water, nothing preventing it from coming back, but before it comes back in, it'll already be bottled by shishim, so it won't give any nisinas tam and it goes back in. So either you have to have shishim in the water, or you have to have that the spoon should be eina ben yoimai. So minatora, if you have a tray for spoon that's eina ben yoimai, minatora, you don't have to kash it at all. Lo yasa tarah kadera bas yoimai, because once the kli is eina ben yomo, so the blia that was sitting in the charsis hagedera in the metal of the metal walls of the gedera have a metallic flavor and it's nice and tamlev gum. It's going to be nivgum already. So it's only with the rabbanon that they said you have to make hagola on a tray for kli sheinu ben yom gzeira eina ben yom ata ben yom. You're going to put a label on every pot when it was used for fleshings, when it was used for milchins, when it was used for chametz, when it was used for treifas. The labels are going to get all mixed up, and you're going to be using a tray for kli the wrong time. So this gzeir eina ben yom, ata ben yom was only instituted if the tchilas habliya was l'shvach. Initially, when the spoon became treif, it was nice and tam l'shvach. I used it in pork and beans. It was really treif. And now after 24 hours, it's kosher because after 24 hours, the treif habliya has a metallic flavor. So they made gzeir derabbanan eina ben yom, ata ben yom. But once the blia goes, eina ben yom, blia goes into the, right, the haidu hagola, treifa blia goes into the water, going to come back in, nothing preventing it from going back into the spoon. When it goes back into the spoon, it's tchilas ablia is livgam. The whole hascholas ablia was livgam. So tchilas ablia livgam, the chachamim never were machmer. The only machmer of tchilas ablia in the treifa kli was lishvach. So then they made exer derabon, eina ben yom, ata ben yom. So Taisa says the way to kasher is either you have shishim, you always have to be careful. When you want to kasher anything with hagola, either you need shishim in the water against the whole volume of the tray for spoon, or you make sure that the spoon is eina ben yomo, so the tray for blia will go into the water, even though it's going to come back into the spoon, l'bitchilas ha-blia l'vgama won't be a problem. What happens if it's a fleshig spoon? Not a tray for spoon, a fleshig spoon. So then Taisa says, you don't need shishim, and you don't need eina ben yomo, because it's going to be not by not by not. The fleshig blia went into the spoon. Whatever, I was eating fleshig soup. So I finished all the soup and I washed off the spoon. So the spoon has a blia of fleshigs. I do hagola, there's no shishim in the water, so the fleshig blia goes from the spoon into the water. There's nothing to prevent the blia from coming back in. The spoon doesn't have roch hakodesh to know what it should be balea, what it shouldn't be balea. So the blia is going to come back. So it's a nice and tam, by nice and tam, by nice and tam. It was a Tam Rishon was in the spoon. Tam Sheni goes from the spoon into the water, the Meha HaGola. Nothing to be prevented from going back into the spoon. So not by not, the Hetere is Mutar even Al Yidei Bishul. Even though we're Machma not by not Al Yidei Bishul, but not by not Al Yidei Bishul, that we're Mekel. So the Shulchan Aruch says, when you kasha kelim for Pesach, they quote the Rabbi Natan, when you kasha kelim for Pesach, you neither have to be careful that it should be Eina Ben Yomo, nor do you have to be careful that you have Shishim, because you're doing the Hagola Koidim at Pesach. There's going to be not by not the Hetera, so everything is fine. So the Shulchan Aruch says that not by not is good by Pesach. And nonetheless, the Shulchan Aruch says you need Libun. So it's a contradiction. So the Mishnah Brura says it's a contradiction. And the answer is you should be Machmir. Whenever you kashim anything before Pesach, you should be Machmir. You should either have Shishim or should be Eina Ben Yom. This is Pile Ploy. For centuries, the Jewish people were Mekel, like it says in Shulchan Aruch. Then in the early 1900s, the Mishnah Brura was printed, and he throws out centuries of tradition that we're Mekel to do Hagola on Chametz Dikakelim. We're not worried about not by not. And the applesauce that you cooked in the Chametz Dikapat, for centuries the Jews were Mekel on that. Not by not is Mutar Kodem HaPesach, because it's HaTerebola. Then comes the Mishnah Brura, he says we should be Machma all the way like the Ramban. There's usually a Sun Faked, usually a Sun Mikra, then we pass on Chametz Kodem HaPesach is HaTerebola. We threw in a little Chumr, Bichoshes for the Ramban, do Libun. And the baking tin. So the Mishnah Berurah says, no, we really should paskan like the Ramban. You should be Machman and not by not also. That's the Mishnah Berurah that he's saying. That's it. So this is Rabbi Natan. This is the famous Rabbi Natan on Daf Ches Amud Aleph. Rabbi Natan came to answer the contradiction. How come in our Gemara, on Ches Amud Beis, the Gemara says, how do you kasher a knife with Libun? And the Gemara says, Msochem, how do you kasher a Chametz Dik a knife to use it for Pesach with Hagolah? How come one Gemara says Libun, one Gemara says Hagola? So the simple answer is talking about two different knives. If it's a little knife that you use on the table to cut the flesh that's burning hot, but it's not Agabi Ho'esh, so Hagola is enough. But if it's a big knife that you sometimes hold raw meat over the fire, so then the blia will be Agabi Ho'esh, and then you're going to need Libun. That's the simple answer. So Rabbi Natan says, well, Yesh Leimar, that in Psochim and Daflamid, you're talking about Kashrin for Pesach, Hetera Bola. Hetera Bola, you never need Libun, period, because we follow Rava, who said from the Chumash, in Parshas Tzavon only talks about Marika Shtifa Hagola, and by Giuli Kleimidion, it talks about sometimes Libun and sometimes Hagola, so you never need Libun if it's Hetera Bola. So Kasher in Kodem HaPesach, you never need Libun. If you want a Kasher on Pesach, okay, then you're going to need Libun. But if you're Kashering before Pesach, you never need Libun.
But Hagola, you have Shishim, so it's what on the first spoon. What about each successive spoon? Would it add up to the less than?
It'll add up. So you got to make sure you have a lot of water. Yeah. And Shulchan Aruch says like that. If you're going to kasher, let's say in broyers, they do the hagola in shul, because it says in Shulchan Aruch, "Ein lahagel ela b'fnei bal hagola." You should do hagola in the presence of a talmid chacham. Bal hagola. A bal hagola. A talmid chacham who knows how to do hagola. So they have the rabbi or the dayan sits there, and all the balabatim come with their chametz dik and things they want to kasher. And the rabbi gives a psak. He says you have to scrape off more. There's too much sticky stuff on the outside. And then when they determine that it's roy to do hagola, so they have one of the guys from Broyer's Yeshiva stay and he'll do the hagola for you. So if you're going to have hundreds of people come and they have certain designated, I have 2 days before Pesach when they do the hagola. You're going to have a lot of people doing hagola. You have to have a very big tank of burning hot water, so that you'll have shishim against all of the chametz added up together. Because you do, the Shulchan Aruch says you do add up the thickness of all of the spoons all together. That's called chayzev v'nir. What's the din? A little chazer shmatz. I have a pot of soup. A little bit of chazer shmatz falls in. I have shishim. It's bottle. Another little bit of chazer shmatz falls in. I have shishim against that. But every time a little bit more falls in, now you have so much chazer shmatz that you don't have shishim anymore. So that's called chayzev v'nir. It fell asleep. The Yisr fell asleep. It was bottled b'shishim when I had shishim. But now, all the chazer shmatz joins together. If you'll taste it, it'll taste like chazer shmatz. That's chayzev v'nir. It wakes up. The Yisr wakes up again. And it's no longer bottled the shishim. So
but
the same is
ben yoma, ain't a ben yoma. What you do, you don't need big
kelim. Yeah, if it's ain't a ben yoma, yeah, right. If all the kelim are ain't a ben yoma, then you don't need shishim. But if some of the kelim, those kelim that are ben yoma, then you have to make sure either you have shishim or you have ain't a ben yoma, one or the other.
But
The minig is that we always insist that it should be Eina Ben Yom. That's the minig, so we never have to worry about that. But if you have a Shas HaTchak, then you make it as long as they have Shishim. Shishim, sometimes people will make a mistake determining Shishim. But if it Eina Ben Yom, so then with your eyes closed, you don't have any worries. Yeah. Yeah. If you do so much hagola, so many spoons, and you see the water becomes cloudy, so obviously a lot of chazer, a lot of treif of liya, so much treif of liya went into the water that they may not have shishim anymore. Shulchan Aruch mentions like that.
How does Iri roast it? Iri roast it. You don't have shishim.
If the bliya was like the Iri. If the bliya was ayde ira, then you could do hagala ayde ira. So you wait till it's ayne ben yomo, so you won't even need shishim. If you wait till it sink as ayne ben yomo, that's usually what they do. The meaning is you always wait till it's ayne ben yomo.
Libun destroys everything that's not even a mashu, so you can do it on Pesach. Unlike hagala, you can't do it because it's always a mashu. Libun is not even a mashu.
Right. We assume libun is sorfer bim koma. Yeah, we assume you can't do hagala on Pesach. Because chametz is b'mashu, so the shishim doesn't help. And even Eina ben Yomo, the Ramo is machmer. The whole heter of Eina ben Yomo, because nois and tam lev gam, so the Ramo holds that nois and tam lev gam itself is based on bittel. So since chametz b'pesach is not bottle, so if you're going to do a hagola on Pesach, even on Eina ben Yomo, let's say halacha ma'aseh, the wife goes away in chalamoid, and the husband is fashlofen, so he takes out the chametz dikapat that hasn't been used for spaghetti since last week. It's at the end of Chalamayit. So his wife used it for spaghetti a week before Pesach. It was 2 weeks it has been used for spaghetti. And he puts in some water. He wants to make a cup of coffee. So he puts in water in the spaghetti pot. So there hasn't, the bli of spaghetti is already 2 weeks old in the pot, so it's nice and tam levgam. So the Mechaber says it's mutter. Nice and tam levgam is mutter even at Pesach. So the Ramah is machmer that nice and tam levgam is also based on bittul. The Chum is b'pesach is b'mashahu, so there's no kulam. So if you say nois and tam lev gam is based on bittul, so that's osir, and shishim doesn't help because chametz b'mashu, so then you put two and two together, so you can never do hagol on Pesach.
So didn't the bittul occur before Pesach?
And
this pot?
If I did the hagola before Pesach,
but
then
I didn't do the hagola.
I want to do the hagola on Pesach, so then it doesn't help. So the shishim doesn't help. Shishim doesn't help.
So we say in Ben Yomai, it means only with the Cham. If I leave the sink and say, Paul, keep using cold water. And
cold, yeah. In the Ben Yomai means I haven't used it for hot chametz. Yeah. I can use it for hot water. I haven't used it for hot chametz in the last 24 hours. Yeah. That is right. Then the Rabbi Natam has another chiddush. This is a very important thesis. The Rabbi Natam has another chiddush in this thesis. Shalib Nabur. It's a very important thesis quoted in Yeridea. What's the din like this? I have a knife that I sometimes use it at the table to cut the burning hot steaks. Okay. That's not agabi ho'esh. For that it would have been good enough with hagola. And then sometimes it's such a good knife. It's not a silver piece of silverware. Sometimes I hold raw flesh over the fire with the knife. And it's all nevelus of treifus. It was used by goy. So sometimes it was balea agabi hoesh bali mashkin bali roitiv, and sometimes it was balea on the cutting on the table on the plate shalei agabi hoesh. And now it's Eina ben Yomo. Now the knife is Eina ben Yomo. So if he would have only used it once for treifus and the once would have been agabi hoesh, you would say kibola kach bolti. You have to do libun. Here I used it 100 times, the goy. He used it 100 times. 10 times he used it agabi hoesh, 90 times he used it the cut on top of the plate. So would you need hagola or would you say it's ain't a ben yomo though? The whole need for kashering is only mid the rabbanim, and I told you the whole thing is nice and tam levgam. So Rabbi Natam has a chiddush that you go basa roif tashmisha. If it would only been balea treifus once agabi hoesh, you would have needed libun. But it was balea treifus 100 times, and 90 out of 100 times it was balea, not al gabi hoesh, and 10 times it was balea al gabi hoesh. So the whole need for kashering on an ein ben yom is only midi rabbanon. Zera ein ben yom, but the ben yom. So Rabbi Natam says siginuk if you do hagola, there's no need to do libur. And other balea taisa disagree. What are you talking about? If we would have used it once al gabi hoesh, and you want to kasher it 5 months later, you would need libur. So if you used it 10 times al gabi hoesh and 90 times shalei al gabi hoesh, that that should make it better. So that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch also. And the Mechaber is maker like the Rabbein Tami Gol, Basar Roiv Tashmishai, and the Ramah is Machmir. That's unclear. The Pashtus, I thought the Rabbein Tam only meant it was used 100 times for treif, and the Rav of the times it was used for treif was Beli Shaloi Al Gabi Huesh. Then he's Mekel. But if I used it once, Al Gabi Huesh for treif, and 1,000 times for kosher, I thought that doesn't help. That's what I thought. Other Achrayim say the favor is not so. But I thought the Poshib Shat was like this. So this two opinions, this Machlekes and Tes, whether you go Basar Rav Tashmishai, this is quoted in Hilchas Pesach. This is quoted in Hilchas Pesach. So the in the second Chelik Yeridim, when they talk about Kashering, Hagol Alibon, they just say, look in Hilchas Pesach, everything's explained. They don't say anything there in Yeridim. They say, look in Hilchas Pesach. The question is, this Ramah, who is Machman, that you don't go Basar Rav Tashmishai, maybe this is the Ramah, maybe the Ramah is only in Hilchas Pesach, you don't go Basar Rav Tashmishai. Because the whole Rabbi Natam, that you go Basar Rav Tashmishai, only makes sense if the Kli is Eina Ben Yomo. But if Kli is Ben Yomo, and it was Balei, today it was Balei 100 times, 90 times Shalei Al Gabi Hesh, and 10 times Al Gabi Hesh. Rabbi Natam will also agree. Is Mamash a Blei Ben Yomo? Of course you need Libun. Rabbein Tam is talking when it's Eina Ben Yomo and it's Nois and Tam Liv Gam and Nikar Adin, you don't have to kashu at all. It's only a Chumri Midi Rabbon Gzeira Eina Ben Yomo Ata Ben Yomo. So he says, Ginuk, must pick if you do the Hagola according to the Rav Tashmisha. But if it's still Ben Yomo, there's no room to be made. So here the Ramah could be that it's Lushitosu. Ramah holds that a Kli Sheina Ben Yomo Asas Bidi Ebed by Chomiz Bid Pesach. Because he holds a Kli Eina Ben Yomo and Nois and Tam Liv Gam, Nois Tam Liv Gam Asas Bidi Ebed on Pesach. There's nothing. Tam Gam is based on Bittul, so it could be that the Ramos Chumer not to go Basar Rav Tashmishai is only applicable in Hilchas Pesach. He only wrote it in Hilchas Pesach. He didn't discuss it at all by other treifas. It could be it's only Lushitosai because the Ramah holds that Eidim and Yom Asas B'diyevet by Chumers. But by Shari's Chumer, it could be the Ramah would agree that you go Basar Rav Tashmishai. That's unclear. That's unclear in the Shulchan Aruch and all the Mefarshim. That is unclear. Anyway, this is a famous. This Gemara, and this Tosfos is a very famous Gemara. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. We're about 7 lines from the top. Okay. Itma, a new topic. Sheikh of the Sapphic. In the Parsha, the Torah tells about the Mitzoyra. Mitzoyra is Hukish Lameis. When Miriam was suffering with Negev Tzaraas, Aaron said to Moshe Rabbeinu's brother, Altiina kameis, have rachmanus on your sister, she shouldn't be like a mace. So the Gemara establishes the halacha that a mitzora has dinim like a mace. So the parsha has a din that the mitzora has to have atifas harosh, asof amyate, rosh yir farua, the god of yufrumim, asof amyate. He has to have kriya, just like an oval has kriya. So the mitzora has to have kriya. And Rosh Yeh Farua is not allowed to wear, the Gemara has 2 pshat and what it means, Rosh Yeh Farua in Perek Yehle Megalchen. One pshat is should let his hair grow, the other pshat is shouldn't wear a fancy hat. And Al-Safam Yat, he should have Atifas HaRosh, that is, he should have his face covered up. So these three are dinim that we know from Shiva. When Rahman al-Atlan, someone dies and you have an Avelos of Shiva, so there's a din about Atifas HaRosh. We don't do it Bizman Azeh. Taisus says we don't observe. But Bizman Agmal used to wear a hood over the head till their mustache. Al Safam Yata. The hood was all the way down. Taisus writes that we don't do it today because the people will come to be Menachem Avol, they'll just start laughing. It'll look ridiculous. So it doesn't make any sense today. But Bizman Agmal, that was the practice. They had Atifa Sarosh, they have a beggared Karua, and they wouldn't be allowed to wear any fancy hat. So the Gemara understands in Perek Eilu Megalchen, the Gemara understands that it's a din of Nihog Avelus. Who is observing Avelus? He's the mason observing Avelus on himself. We assume, the Gemara assumes that Negev Tzaraas is a punishment min Hashemayim because of certain Averus that the person did. So since Mitzvah is Hukish Lameis, so he's responsible for his being a mace. Since he's the cause of his being a mace, so he should observe Avelus on himself. The same thing, the Gemara has a din, one who is menuda, they put a person in a cherem or the nidui shamta, two or three different levels. Machlek Zerushem is a nida cherem shamta, but there's only nidim and cherem, and cherem and shamta the same thing. Usually we say paritz gedu shachenu nochash, and nochash is a rashi teiv is nida cherem shamta. So those who say like that, the Rishonim have that lashon already. Paritz gedi shachen anochash should be bitten by the chivya derabbanan, should be punished with the cherem, which is the snake that the curse that the chacham give a person. So you usually assume the three different madregas, neither cherem shamta. So when Bezin makes a gmardin, when Bezin says the person is in cherem or in nidui, that's a gmardin lemisa. It means they give him a curse; he should drop dead because of the avera that he did. And if the person dies without the Bezdin being mata the nidui, we treat him like a mishamez b'niduyo, he's treated like harugi Bezdin. So the Shulchan Aruch says that children are not permitted to observe avelus. Just like harugi Bezdin, the children are not allowed to observe avelus. The Gemara says, Babad Rishayim Rina, he's supposed to celebrate when the Rosha dies. We don't celebrate, but we don't observe avelus. So when a person is in cherem or shamto, he's considered in a certain sense a gavra ketila, and he's obligated to observe avelus on himself, because it's his fault that the Bezdin had to declare him as a gavra ketila. His fault that the Bezdin had to give him a curse. Ad kedei kach, the Gemara has a suffix, the menuda has to observe the laws of avelus, and the din is when yantav comes, and yantav cancels, if you're in the middle of shiva, yantav cancels shiva, in the middle of shloshim, yantav cancels shloshim. The Gemara has a shaila, what about menuda mashinig niduya beregel? When Yantav comes, does he have to observe the inyanim of Avelus that he observes all the time? Maybe Yantav is a Yom Simcha and Avelus is a Tsar. Avelus is opposite from Simcha. So just like a novel, Eina Noig Avelusa Beregel, so maybe the Menuda is not Noig Niduya Beregel. Maybe the Menuda is not Noig Niduya Beregel, and the Mitzvah should not be Noig his dinim of Avelus Beregeli. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that he does, that the Mitzvah does observe Nidui. So Rashi Anad Gemara writes, which element of Avelus are we talking about? So he should have said wearing the Begad Karua, should have said Hatifa Sarosh, or he should have said Rosh Yefarua, shouldn't wear a fancy hat. Rashi doesn't write any of the three Nihugim Avel. He writes the Nihug that the Mitzvah is not allowed to enter Shalosh, not allowed to enter Machne Yisrael. So that's a chiddush in Rashi. Not allowed to enter Machne, so that's a din of Tameim. Shiloch Tameim. He's Tamei Beregel also. So Rashi has a chiddush. Rashi in Moed Katan has a chiddush that the din, the Ovel, is not allowed to enter. No Tamei is allowed to enter the Azor. And only one who has a Tumah Yotzel and Meguf is not allowed to enter Harabais. And only Metzora is not even allowed to enter Yerushalayim anyhow, Yoros HaMekov is Chayma. So Rashi holds that that's a din of Neo Gavelus. Usually we say, no, that's not a din of Nigav, it's a din of Shiluach Temeim. So Rashi holds a Chiddush, no. Not only Asaf Amyata, Atifa Sarosh, and the God of Yufruim, the ripping the Kriya, the Rosh Yefarua, not to wear a fancy, beautiful hat, even the Shiluach Temeim is also an inyan on Nihu Gavelis. That the Mitzvah is Noy Gavelis on himself because it's his fault that he's Hukash Lameis. And that's the din of Nida also, the Menuda observes Avelis on himself. Because it's his fault that the Bezdin had to make him into a garik, they had to give him a klala. It's a chiddush, the way the Gemara understands the parsha. The Rambam, the Sefer HaMitzvah, doesn't write like that. The Rambam says that all of these are one mitzvah. Tomi yikra. He has to have heker, that everyone should know that he's Tomi. So the whole Rosh of Yefaruah, God of Yefaruah, everything is only heker, and he counts it all as one mitzvah. Everything is one big mitzvah, Tomei Tav Yikra, the Tomei, and all Tameim should have Heker. Not only the Mitzvah, all Tameim should have Heker. But the Gemara doesn't seem to say like the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvah. The Gemara says that it's an inyan of Nihu Gavelus. Okay. Good. So you have an inyan.
Seems fine, yeah.